I once said a famous saying, although I don't think I've ever said a famous saying. You know, I am glad about Facebook. There's one good thing about it. And sometimes you guys, you put on stuff, kids are sick, and or people are sick, and I'm able to pray for you. I know I saw your post last week, and I had meant to actually ask how things were doing, but I'm able to like kick it into prayer and say, Father, touch so-and-so, heal so-and-so. And I thank God for that. If we're going to share information, I think we can do good stuff with information. I really do. Once said in a message that trials don't destroy character, they reveal it, because I really believe that's true. I believe our reaction to things says a lot. Now, I want to say this. You can have a bad reaction to something, and it can reveal a problem. That doesn't mean necessarily you're damned to hell, or because you reacted wrongly, and it doesn't mean that all hope is lost. But I got to tell you something. Our life has trials. It has things that come at us hardcore. And they try us. I mean, if you want to know what you believe, get squeezed real hard, and you'll find out what you do, what you don't. You'll find areas where your faith is weak, where it needs to grow. Sometimes you find things that are troubling, that where you look and go, man, this has got to change. I know I've had more than one or two of those in my life, definitely, and I'm being real kind saying one or two. But our reaction to this world is going to be a real critical thing. And in your personal life, your reaction is going to be also a real critical thing. It used to be when I talked to believers in the 80s and we'd ask them about reactions, it seemed like what the church stressed a lot, and it was okay. It was good, like, you know, turning the other cheek or loving your enemies. And that was fine. But there's a whole host of other things we deal with. So my burden is I react, because sometimes we're reacting to stuff. Let's be honest with you. Stuff comes at you, and the faster it comes, sometimes it seems the harder. And it doesn't always have to be a physical happening. It can be your emotions. It can be inside. It can be something that's in your spirit. But man, I've watched a lot of things in my life. And in the years that I've known Christ, in the decades I've known Christ, I've seen reactions make and break people, kill and give life, bless, curse. The whole routine. But I want to get something right out front with you that I think is really important. Reaction is an interesting thing, because one of the lies that we tell ourselves, and that for me in my life, I was a grown man when I reconsidered, you know, how God wants to take me through things and how he's going to help me and speak to me in my reaction. I didn't even face the fact that my reactions weren't equivalent to my instance. For years, I lived in a way to where I never even thought that. And I was raised kind of, we had a logic, was really simple. Hey, if you think I did bad with this, you should see this other guy I know. So we constantly put somebody else on a parallel that was way worse than ourselves and said, hey, I feel a lot better after looking at that idiot. But, you know, again, the whole thing is, I heard even growing up, and a lot of you are used to this, we've all grown up in the same world in a lot of ways. Where people say, why did you make me mad? Why did you make me do this? Why did you make me do that? And I was a very grown man before I came to the realities that one, reaction was a choice. And even the fact that God wanted to react with me was something that even years later than that I came to grips with. Because even when I came to grips that there could be many reactions to one event, and that I didn't come to the grip later that the Spirit of God wants to really be in the reaction and react with me. Therefore, God reacts to the situation. And a lot of times you don't think of it that way. You go, I'm a Christian and God's good and he'll help me when I'm hit and to react properly. But the aspect also that I'll bring up today is that God wants to be in the reaction. The Spirit of God wants to be in the reaction. That's really critical. We need that. We need that desperately, because again, stuff comes at you. I know stuff will never stop coming. I know that. I know that life will never be free and easy as far as, yes, we'll hit seasons where we prosper, where maybe there's a little less pressure, but life will never kind of never give a few lemons. It will never not throw stuff at you that challenges your character, that challenges your walk, it challenges your faith. And that's okay, because one of the beauties of reading in the scripture is constantly being reminded of amazing men and women just like us. And I mean just like us, that did amazing things. Now, growing up with my Catholicistic background, I believe that Bible characters were demigods to a degree. They were different. They were holy men, never like us. But that simply wasn't true. So if we can get past some of that and watch and see the Spirit of God start to react, we can start seeing something really, really, really cool. I want you to go to James. We're going to go to James chapter 3, verse 1. I'll never forget the time I saw it on film where a woman owned a small, you know, grocery store, kind of like a corner shop, and a guy came in with a gun, and she started speaking in tongues and rebuking the devil, and the guy, he didn't know what to make of that. You know, when you're planning a robbery and you got a good nine with you, you're not planning on somebody, as you say, I want all the money in the cash register, or start speaking in tongues and rebuking the devil in the name of Jesus. And the guy did run out. Now you might go, Mike, for that one story, there's three others that spoke in tongues and the guy shot them. But the reality of a reaction at a crucial time. I'm not telling you all to do that today. I'm not telling you if somebody sticks a gun in your back, you start speaking in tongues. Although, tell you what, it could be better than what you might want to do. I knew a girl who was actually attacked in a park and started praying in the spirit, and the guy ran away. And he had thoroughly, was going to actually assault her. So I've seen a lot of history in my life, so I've watched reactions in real critical times. And then there's the other part where you see reactions and you kind of go, oh my gosh, that's just pathetic. And sometimes that's okay. It's okay to say that's pathetic, because sometimes it is. But James 3:1 says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. That would be me. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of the great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defies the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Now, somebody might go, you were just talking about reactions, but you went to James that talks about our mouth. And this is another myth we need to rid ourselves in. Rarely are our mouths out of line with our actions. And our mouths and our talking is very much connected with our reaction. Trust me. One of the illusions that what we say is kind of separate from who we are and what we say is kind of separate from what we do is a myth mostly. Because with your mouth, you begin to say things when something happens, and as you're speaking and you begin to get riled up or whatever you're doing, whatever your mouth is doing, your body's following along. Trust me. One of the points in reaction is understanding that your speech and your walk is going to really be close. That's a fact. And as you're usually talking, your body is usually doing something. Even some people say you got to have some Italian blood because you're always using your hands when you talk. A lot of public speakers do. That's not a weird thing. But the fact is, our bodies actually engage with our mouth. That's a fact. I've seen guys get in fights and sometimes they're talking bloody murder while they're beating somebody half to death. And we all remember the famous one, how the mom, when she starts to spank, my mother liked to hit once per every syllable. And I hated that because instead of whack, I thought I told you not to. It was like, I thought I told you not to. And it's like, you know what? I wished you would shorten the speech. But there it was. And that's all right. I love that. You know, my mom said all those kinds of things. She sounded out every vowel. And, you know, she'd hit you. And I love the other one. You know, do you want some more? Oh, yeah, for certain I do want some more. Please, pull the strap back out. I was enjoying that so much. Why did you stop? That's a female thing. It's either the shoe or the strap or something that's nearby. But I'm telling you, because men are... My dad would more like have a low growl. I'd heard his keys in his pocket and then a whack. But my mother talked through it. You know, maybe that was a form of therapy as she... you know, was beating me. And I will say this, I've always told my parents, you did not beat me enough, trust me on that one. Because for everything you beat me for, I did about 1,000 other things that you don't know. I used to joke and say, you can come to your kid and smack him, and they say, what's that for? It's for the thing I don't know and the thing you're probably going to do within the day. I'm kidding. Don't take me too serious. But when I talk about reactions and words, they're very similar. Think about it. There are times that something comes at you and you begin to respond. The first thing to respond is your mouth. I have rarely seen people go through things, good, bad, ugly, or other, where a Christian goes through something and their mouth doesn't start moving when they're reacting. Of course it does. Yes, of course sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to talk about it, and they run out of the room. I've did it, you've did it, maybe we've all did it, I don't know. That's why I went to James speaking about the mouth, because the mouth is so connected to who you are. It's so connected to what you're about to do. It's so connected. In fact, even talking about parental and corporal punishment, how many times do you tell the kid, one more time and you're in trouble? That's not just your words, because when my dad said, I won't say it again, he was very real with that. And when you did that and he said, one more time, it was one. My mom would do 3 counts, 4 counts, and so you just push it till 3 or 2.5 and then submit. But my father was a guy, not a lot of words, but it was always a word that preceded. And there was only one time where my father really got down on me, and he didn't say a whole lot, but of course he had said a lot to my mom. So when I talk about reactions and words, because either words are affirming what you're about to do, or they're batting it down. Either your words are making a storm or birthing a deeper storm, or your words are calming a storm and they're bringing the situation into control. But here's the other thing about your words. They're bringing you into control sometimes. This is why it talks about mastering your tongue. And as your tongue goes, so goes your action, so goes your life, because you're going to react a particular way. We all understand how there's things that I wished I reacted and could have took back. I really do. And obviously, as we're closer friends with each other, I think we always have to have a mercy and a grace. And what I mean is, if in a moment of frustration you eke out something that's less than pleasant, sometimes we must take into consideration, that was a dumb thing I said, or that was a dumb thing you said, and you can let them know, and to where we don't make even a bigger thing. Because what's interesting, as we have interpersonal relationships, job relationships as Christians, reactions go two ways. I say something and I'm stirring. Many times the secondary person responds back. Now we have 2 sets of words and 2 sets of reactions. And sometimes the interesting thing is they're coming from a very different place. I've seen people get in fights in high school, and they get in fights, and one guy's just saying, I'm going to kick your rear end, and then they start fighting, and the other guy's like, I'm not afraid to die today. You know, I mean, they're coming from different places. In fact, how do you think many times an argumentative homicide happens? Because people start talking trash, and they start getting into it, and they're not even sure where the other person's coming from. That person's on their wit's end, and they're coming out of a whole other thing. But what we can do is God and the Spirit of God can deal with our mouths and make us better. And there's room for improvement. I am not claiming a utopic existence by any means. But I always used to have a rule. If I can see some progress, I'm happy. If I did this a little different this time than the last time, that's good. That's needed. If I stumble, then I got to pick it up and start again. You can't take things back. You can only start a new minute the minute you're in. None of this is giving you to be lackadaisical or lazy with how your mouth moves, but the thing is, it's important. Because I do believe self-condemnation breeds more mistakes. Sometimes I see people and they're so stuck, they're so mad at themselves, that they sit there and as Christians, they just can't believe they did or they said that. And then after the fact, that condemnation, they're beating themselves up. And the truth is, usually, I say let God convict you, repent to the Father, let him deal. Because a lot of times, I've told people, that guilt you're talking with is going to lead you into the same episode again very shortly. And a lot of times people go, what do you mean? I'm terrified by what I said. I'm terrified. I said, I know you are. But the condemnation, the way you're doing it, isn't going to stop the next event. You need a change in your speaking. Absolutely. Our words are going to affirm what we're about to do, or they're going to disagree with what we're feeling sometimes. So in our action-reaction, you know, there's a law of physics. Does anybody know that one, thermodynamics and physics, John? Every reaction has a...
Every
Equal or opposite reaction. It's really critical to understand it. Come on, guys, are they teaching this stuff at school anymore? Anyway, no, I'm playing. I get that one down. If I was sitting there and didn't have the point down I was making, I wouldn't be able to answer it. But again, because another thing is too, is our words are really important and our reactions are important. I don't want to hear, what I really don't like many times is people say, I'm just being real. Or I just need to look that up because that's what I was feeling. Not only is that not biblical, it's as far from the scripture as you can humanly imagine to rip a string of pearls, and I mean that cynically, and to say, you know, I just had to get that out. Do you know there was a movement back in the late 70s and the 80s, a psychotherapy movement. It was called venting. And what you would do is you'd have a person that was frustrated, and they would just come into the psychologist's office, and they would scream at the top of their lungs. Sometimes, depending on the psychologist or the counseling leader, they would give them a pill to scream in, and they would vent. And at first, a lot of people said, I feel released when I do that, so I just go and I scream at the top of my lungs, and I just howl like a wolf, and an hour later, I feel like I got it all out. What they didn't realize, and you knew where this was going, they started having other issues very quickly in the future that the rage really wasn't gone, and their screaming at their top of the lungs really didn't do what they call the release. In fact, it caused other emotional maladaptive behaviors. It followed by violence many times. If I'm even frustrated and the Lord's saying, you know the old little angel and the demon on one side, you know what I mean? And you feel like you're hearing two voices. Even as the Spirit of God wants to help you to react, if I'm feeling inside, I just want to rip something. I want to tell you off. Number one, that's not something I have to get out. That's something that's proposing itself to me that I'm saying, Spirit of the living God, I don't know if that would be wisdom. It is not an immovable force of nature that I must release or it will bottle up. That's a lot of baloney. You can walk in obedience to the Father and you'll be shocked at not suppressing stuff that's inside, but crucifying stuff that's inside that doesn't fit, that shouldn't be spoken. There's a lot of myths we believe about our own temperaments, or about our reactions to in incidences. There's a lot of mythology. I call it mythology because there's so many rules that I heard even growing up that just weren't in touch with reality. Well, you know, that usually means this, or this usually means this, or this means this. Many times, a lot of those things were like myths. You had to, when you got saved, came to Jesus, and started reading a Bible, you went, boy, that disagrees with what I always thought. That disagrees with what I always thought. But in the action of reaction, the mouth's connection with reaction, the mouth's connection with just simple action, not always reacting, is really huge. Many times people don't like to hear if you start talking about words because they think you're teaching about a mind over matter. But the fact of the matter is, our mouths can fire us up. I used to call it ruminating. I've seen people, they get so angry and they will just berate. They will speak and they just start, I mean, they let it flow and they're so mad at that person. And how could they? And what they don't understand is they're increasing their offense internally. And instead of the Spirit of God really reacting, that's flesh. And that could be a few other things. And they're working themselves up into a frenzy. I remember people go off sometimes. I remember a guy went off on me many, many years ago, a guy. And by the middle of his rant, he was talking about killing me. Well, obviously, I got off the phone and realized this didn't just happen now. This guy's been harboring stuff and holding stuff. And he was a rabid dog. And this it didn't happen in the moment to where I offended him in the moment because I hadn't. But he was holding a ton of stuff. And his reaction, in fact, he said, I want to wrap my hands around your throat, and I want to strangle you, and I want to watch the life go out of your eyes. It's pretty aggressive. And my response wasn't, well, I'm coming over so you can see that. My response was, I'm getting my weapon. Because I just can't let you strangle me. I just don't think that'll work for me today. Let not many of you become teachers, because it says, you know, knowing that my judgment is going to be stricter. This is what God says, not man. So I have to sit before the throne because I taught. I taught scripture. I taught it for years. And God's going to have me account for what I taught, absolutely. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no question. This is going to happen. There is a stricter judgment I'm going to be held by than the people that listen. this is what the scripture says. That's fine. I've always told people, if you want to get into preaching and your burden is to be seen, you might want to back off of that, because there's a judgment, there's an accountability that you will answer to that can be pretty or ugly. But it says we stumble in many ways, but if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Even right there in James, it connects the mouth with the body. The body with the mouth with the body with the mouth. And it's interesting because many times we're taught different theories on overcoming adversity, but James says it's starting in your mouth, going into your actions. If you can curtail the mouth, your body, like a rudder drives a big ship, just a little rudder, this little rudder will actually start giving you control over your body, your actions, and your reactions. See, the scripture takes a whole different approach to this. And then the writer talks about we put bits into the horse's mouth and about the big ship. And the reason it's doing it, it confirms what we just said. And he's saying, if you really want to control what you do, control what you say. If you want to control how you react, control what you say. If you want to control how you do this, control what you say. It is your mouth that launches you whichever direction you're going. It is your mouth that launches you. With it, we bless men. With it, we curse our brothers. And it's real simple in the scripture. As much as people go, I can't do that. You know, it's interesting. Another lie that the enemy has really passed to mankind is that we are instinctive. You know, an animal is instinctive, but I'm not a creature of instinct. I'm a human being with actual intellect. In fact, we are different. As much as people say we're not, we are different. We have an ability to reason. So your mouth will either bridle, put your body under control, like a harness, like a rudder on a ship, or if it's absent, there'll be no direction, and you will act and enact and act out in a thousand different ways that are very difficult to deal with. And then I think of the one thing. Listen to yourselves. Listen to yourselves. Listen to yourselves. When that incident I had happened many years ago, the person finally calmed down and said, I don't know where that came from. And I said, well, actually, I think I do understand where it came from. Obviously, you've held a lot of stuff against me for a great deal of years. You never let God deal with them. And I said, and I'm not saying I did everything right. I didn't. But I said, when somebody talks murder like that, that didn't happen today. That's been happening for a long time. And there it is. Boom. Listening to yourself can be crucial because it can reveal great things about you. Now, many times, I suppose people would take this negatively, but many times your words are encouraging. Many times your words are good. Many times your words are needed. And they're good, okay? And they help people. In fact, this isn't a sermon simply about bad reacting or cursing people or threatening people. This is also about the beauty of the tongue, because if it's true that my mouth is like a rudder and if I can get it in control, I can control the whole body, then it also must be true that when my mouth does good things, that it has an absolutely divine positive effect on my being. If it's true for the one, it's got to be true for the other. So if my mouth is a source of blessing, light, encouragement, direction for others, then what it's actually saying that it can bless my whole body. Now think about this for a minute. Mouth is powerful. You know, I had a bit sometimes that, you know, like all of you, so I've got something I got to do and I'm not sure how I should do it. And sometimes, you know, doing this and doing that, and somebody will speak something to me and it clarifies me in a second and it helps me. Mm-hmm. At that point, their mouth actually literally helped my direction. You know, many times it's never just words. It's our words dictate a lot. And God can give you, you can speak things into your wife, your friends, your kids, whatever. You can speak things that are so critically important. Now, I'm going to say this. You know, if one of your kids misbehaves and your mom or dad says, you know, and chews you out, don't say, you know, Pastor Mike said good things, because that's actually, it says, you know, it really, a parent is different, because when we have to course correct and speak into our kids, that's love. They might go, you don't live with my parents. Well, no, I don't. I agree. But the reality is sometimes we also have to understand that my father spoke things to me that actually probably saved my life. Absolutely. Didn't like him at the time, but it absolutely saved my life. But here's the other thing. When it talks about the mouth on fire, you know, the tongue, a world of iniquity, the weirdest thing that it says, and this is what really bothers me about it, in fact, it talks about in that same verse we were just reading, and it says that in the end of it, it sets on fire the course of our life. Sets on fire. Imagine having a life that is burning down. And it says, and is set on fire by hell. James doesn't use this as a metaphor and say, when you speak bad, you speak like hell. When you speak negatively, you speak like the devil. That's not what the Greek, in fact, the Greek's really strong here, and I'm not saying the Greek's always the Greek, but sometimes in the original language, 2,000-year-old point in Greek, this is such an amazing statement to say that when the tongue isn't the bridle, it isn't the rudder guiding us into righteousness, it is set on fire by hell itself. That's not a myth, nor does the writer imply it's a metaphor, but it's what they call a literal statement. So sometimes you'll surprise yourself. I've surprised myself and thought, what the heck did I just say? And then I look in James and go, oh, okay, that's what I just said. Where did that come from? And I look in James and go, oh, that's where that came from. Interesting how heaven can reflect into your words and your life, but how hell can also reflect into your words and your life. Isn't it interesting? Because I'm not in heaven right now, and I'm not in hell right now, nor are you. And yet, these two opposite places, heaven and hell, season our speech one way or the other and lead to our activities one way or the other. And then I bring us to the point talked about earlier, reading in James about controlling the rudder, and if we can control the tongue, we can control the body, which is the equivalent I was making even to begin with. And I think about God reacting through me, because it says, you know, that we're filled with the Spirit as Christians. So it says to walk in the Spirit that I might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what that says is my life can't be a 50-50 schizophrenia to where I'm half spirit, half flesh, where there's got to be a consistency. I don't believe it's talking about unquestioned, absolute, flawless behavior, but it is talking about a consistency. And the point about letting God react through me is really critical, because my good reactions don't have to be just mine alone and to where I've got some moral character and I just say the right thing. But God wants to act out through me. And God wants to react through me. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Maybe this is common knowledge. This is something that's went over my head many times. God wants to react with me. That's a powerful thing. Do you know why? Say you get a situation that's butt ugly. Say you've got a situation in a trial of fire that's difficult. And you're saying, Father, I need to, what do I do? I mean, even when you say, what do I do? You're saying, how do I react? And then God begins to move your heart. And as you react or act out, either way, God actually is acting out through you. Now, here's why that's amazing. Because if God is reacting with me, and in the Spirit is reacting, I don't care what devilish force I'm facing, as I speak and I walk and I move, the very hand of God is there. Therefore, that changes the very realm of possibilities as to what I'm capable of, what I do, how it affects people. If God is for us, who can be against us? And if God goes before us or goes with us, not, we're not alone. Now, this is why you can react in ways where you make yourself defenseless. Because if you react and your tongue reacts wrongly, God's not moving through that. Therefore, you're kind of, and I'm not saying you're totally on your own, but when you do that, and I've seen Christians get hurt real bad with reactions because God's not doing that through you. If he's not doing that through you, then you're spitballing. And if you're spitballing, then you're kind of out there hanging yourself out to dry. Because you're hanging yourself out with any true defense, without any true defense. Sometimes you get threatened. Sometimes stuff comes at you, and man, do you need God to enact through you. You know, 1 Corinthians, you don't have to go there, 14:1 says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And it says, for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks great mysteries. Let me explain something about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. This is an interesting aspect with charismatics. Obviously, cessationists don't believe this. Non-charismatics don't believe this. The charismatics who have a prayer language don't realize the very power in that. I'll never forget I was in a circle with people. and we were praying, like, you know, holding hands. And I was, my eyes were kind of closed, and I kind of lose a sense of direction, because I sometimes it's really weird. I close my eyes and I'm worshiping, and by the time I open them, I'm pointing backwards. It's kind of embarrassing, but it just happens. But I remember I was in a prayer circle with some people praying, and I was just praying, and I started praying in the spirit, and I turned to the left towards this woman, and it knocked her down. I was speaking in tongues, and she actually fell back, and she said, "Don't you realize, my Lord, that there's power in that, Mike?" Now, up to that point, I always thought, well, I sometimes speak in tongues when I pray. But the aspect of even that power and the edification of your being, it, you know, we should be chasing this down and say, I want that. And if you don't got it, we just got to keep praying. So I want it. And if you don't have it, now let me explain something too. And I often have to put a precursor. I believe people can pray in the Spirit whether they're speaking in tongues or not. And I don't believe in the have or have not. I think the Spirit of God is upon you. And what we're talking about with tongues is an affecting. And I enjoy it. I admit that. But I don't ever teach a have or have not necessarily, because that's not always the way that the Scripture speaks of it. But also that we may prophesy. Now I'm wondering, if I'm prophesying, if I'm responding to something, and you might go, well, prophecy is always future. But we know that sometimes prophecy is future, it's foretelling, or forthtelling. And what that means is sometimes God speaks through you, speaks through me. I know I've had people say things to me that they didn't even realize it was prophetic. I've had almost everybody in the room. I've had Barbara pray stuff that was prophetic. I've had John. I've had you guys, Matt. I've had, it's prophetic. You prophesied. You didn't even realize it, but God was speaking through you. And many of you don't know this, but it affected me deeply. Sometimes a text or in person, and God's using you. He's breathing through you. You're blessing me. You're speaking into me. We need this. There's not enough of this talked about that it's superior to speak prophetically where God just comes through you. And that doesn't mean you're going to always go, I know exactly that I'm prophesying now. In fact, sometimes I used to tell people, it's when I don't know I'm being used by God that I've done some of the coolest things. And they said, really? I'm like, yeah. It's that. And I call it that, it just happens. And you're speaking to somebody and boom. What's really important today, and we're almost there, let's go to James 3:13. It says, who is wise among you in understanding, let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and gentleness of wisdom. He says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant, so lie against the truth. For the wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You want to hear something? When we think of selfish ambition, sometimes we think of a business guy that's greedy, but I want to give you something a little more determinant. We're about done here. Selfish ambition can simply mean that I have an ambition that doesn't line up with God's ambition. Therefore, it's selfish because it's not God. It's not what he wants. So I'm in my own steam. A lot of times people think of selfish ambition as more like a villain. And I've had selfish ambition to where even in kingdom things, I had something I wanted to do. It wasn't God at all. And I really wanted it. That was selfish. Because anything that's not of God is going to be selfish. If he's telling me I need you here and I'm over here, I'm being selfish. I'm doing what I want to do, not what he wants to do. But it's interesting of how we look at the tongue, how we look at the spirit we walk in, how we want to have the reactions of God. But this is the interesting thing. When it talks about, you know, when you have bitter jealousy and you don't walk in the gentleness of wisdom, have you ever seen somebody that they believe they're doing the right thing, but my God, their spirit is so bitter, they're so out of control, they're working in ways that are not godlike, they're demonic. It's interesting. I've watched people stir where I'd actually feel a demonic entity stirring and that person would then start to act out. And it's like, I should not be feeling that at this point because you're a believer. And yet James says very clearly that wisdom that about selfish ambition, I got to do this, or arrogant, he says that doesn't come from above, but is actually natural and demonic. We've been unfortunately kissed by God, but many of us have had demonic encounters without even realizing it. Because when we believers open ourselves up to our own one, it opens a whole other vein. And it can get really messy sometimes. And I've lived long enough to see enough messes. if God's going to order and react through us and enact, and when I say react, you know what I'm saying, you might have a situation, it comes at you, and you're saying, God, what do I say? What do I do? That's a reaction. When I say the word to enact, that means God's moving through you to speak certain ways. You're not reacting to a situation. You're going forth. We're desperately needing this because I really believe people will see the hand of God through our lives as we enact and react with the Spirit of God, our mouth. And as this is in control, it's like a rudder of a ship. It is funny how small rudders are. If you look on boats, I've been in really big boats and the rudders are just very little. My uncle had what you call it, if you're ever familiar with speedboats. He had a jet. It was real thin, but when we drove it, I mean, it was a blast. That thing, once you start getting to a certain speed, 70 or 80, man, the water becomes like rock, and you start bouncing off. But it's interesting. That rudder, I don't know, was real little. Real little. Now, on a speedboat, it's not an onboard. You open a compartment, and it's a whole engine down there. Amazing. And I'll close with this. I want to act with wisdom. I want to speak with wisdom. I want to speak for God. You want to speak for God. And there's nothing wrong if I say, Father, I don't know what to say. I'm really stumped. Show me. And God comes through and says, I'll give you wisdom, Mike. You really want to know. I'm going to show you what to do. I've done that. My gosh, I do that all the time. I don't always know what to do. You know what I'm saying? There's many ways you can approach a situation. Sometimes it's not real cut and dry. But God's willing to give guidance. And I've used James 1:17. It says, the wisdom from above begins to describe what it's going to look like. So as I react and I enact and my mouth lines up with my actions, it says it's first pure. Now pure means it can't be full of my flesh, my carnality. It can't be full of a lot of me and a little bit of God. That's problematic. The wisdom that comes from God. It comes from heaven. It's not manufactured. I love when people try to justify their actions. And actually, you're watching them when they're doing it. They're drawing from whatever. They're drawn from the law, they're drawn from whatever county they're drawn from. They're reacting in a way to where that their wisdom should be peaceable, but there's no peace in what they're doing. So somehow this gets dropped out. It says it's first pure, then peaceable. Wow. You might say, is it possible to have peace when I'm about to ream somebody? Yes, it is. You might say, well, because a lot of people read peace and they put the word passivity. And I have a saying for you to tell people as a Christian, tell them, don't let my meekness be mistaken for weakness, because it's not. I'll be meek like Christ, but I'm not weak. You're misunderstanding the difference between peaceable and passivity. So we read about the wisdom from above is purer than peaceable. Is there peace in what you're doing? Then it says gentle. You people go, well, there's some moods that aren't gentle. I personally believe that Jesus, even when he was at his worst, when he took the scourge of ropes and beat the people selling stuff in the temple, I believe he was a peaceful guy. There is a stillness about Jesus. And I've had experiences with the Lord where he's saying the hardest things to me. But the peace and the purity of bond is amazing. You almost in this kind of, in our world, those don't go together, but in the character of God, they do. It's gentle. Gentle. And I love this one. Reasonable. You know what that means? Reasonable means reasons. In fact, if Armand, you are reacting in a particular way or talking about reacting, I can come and I can talk to you. It means you're reasonable. You're not on your own thing. You'll listen to me. You're not in your own island. So I've often seen people where they're on a mission from God and you can't say a word edgewise. And I'm thinking, according to the scripture, you should be reasonable, but you're not. Now you say that's all hunky-dory with Jesus and you guys are trudging forward and slaying the dragons you think you are. But the fact of the matter is, I don't see peace. You're not reasonable. In fact, you're irrational. How many times when people are irrational for the kingdom, they're trying to say it's of God, and they can't be reasoned with. There's no talking to them. Think about this for a minute. When you get into that state, do you sit there and go, I can't even be talked to, I can't even be reasoned with, but I just know what I'm doing is wisdom from God? Well, how could that be? How can I not be approached with the wisdom I'm starting to execute? If it's of God, why would I be unreasonable? Why would I be irrational? Why would I not be full of peace? Where is the gentleness? And then I love the next one, full of mercy. Do you know what that actually means? Full, in this particular word, means as full as it can get. It can't be any fuller. Well, you go, well, that's kind of what English says, Mike. If the cup's full, it's full. Not necessarily. My coffee cup has about this much gap between the top, right? Mm-hmm. But many times when you talk about full, you're talking about full, not a drop more. And I love it. It says unwavering, and then the last one, without hypocrisy. The wisdom of God in my reaction, in my enacting, cannot be filled with hypocrisy. I cannot be a hypocrite in what I do, because if I'm a hypocrite in what I do, there's a problem there. If I'm irrational and I can't be reasoned with, there's a problem there. If I lack the peace of God, there's a problem there. If I lack the gentleness, there's a problem there. It's interesting. Many Christians will stand before the Father, and we will go before a throne of judgment. Not the white, great white throne is to go into heaven or hell, but the throne of accounting for our lives. Many Christians will tell God about their righteous actions, and he will just, James, I think, will pop up on the, I don't think they'll use monitors there, and he'll just be right there. And God will play their actions and their reactions as a Christian, and that word about, you know, the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of good fruits, while their reactions and their mouth is playing on the right. And when lined up against the scriptural, they'll just be like, oh, snap. That's one of those I could have had a V8 moments. You can't. As we close today, I think it's important that we have reactions and acting. And I want to see you do this, guys. I want to see us have, and I want us to be able to learn. I don't know about you, but I don't ever take, you know, you have an event, you go, I'm really sorry I reacted to that on my mouth. But what I had to deal with, and maybe this isn't relative, so I say this very humbly, but there's a growing process in our life. And mostly with me, what I've dealt with is, yeah, the words. What I when I became a Christian, I focused a lot on the actual physical action. But for a while, I never really governed my mouth. And there was a lot of failures in that. And I didn't really make, in fact, like I'm telling you, a lot of these connections I didn't even make. Even as I'd read the scripture a lot of times, even the whole New Testament again and again and again, and I missed the point of what actually James is saying. And as I'm trying to grow, I didn't even realize that my mouth was like a typhoon sometimes of negativity. Absolutely. I didn't even know my mouth was stirring me up. I didn't even think they were connected. As a Christian, you got to do the right thing. I agree with that. But I didn't realize all the other components of my life and how this mouth was going to be a rudder to my being. And if it was in control, I could react better. But the reaction of my mouth was going to say a lot about how I reacted, period. And I think this is critical because I think the world can spit you out sometimes, swallow you up and spit you back out. I do. I think about the world we live in, and I think Matt, you know, I think about Matt. He posted that video about that. You guys see the town hall meeting where they say we're going to have somebody pray now? It's like, arr! And you know, it's a village hall, but let me explain something about it. People go, well, that's a state thing. No, it was a county thing, and they had been praying in that meeting for a long time. That the absolute freaking out of someone praying, and in 20 years ago, this wasn't even an issue. But what was interesting, the jeering and all the nastiness that people were saying, and this wasn't a political issue, this is more just about town halls and where we're secularizing. But I liked it because this little meek guy, and he prays like, probably, I don't know, 3 minutes I counted. That's a pretty long prayer, especially if you're in a place where people are ranting. But when he said in the name of Jesus, they lost it. You know, that was it. You might as well have said in the name of the devil because people freak out. But I've seen that. I've actually watched that. In fact, I had a woman come at me many years ago, and I just started praying. And she went, what? And she started cussing. And I just said, man, I rebuked that in the name of Jesus. And she literally was coming up to me, and her lips were shaking, and she'd run back and try to come back up with me. And I just kept rebuking her because it was demonic. It was from the pit of hell. There was no if, ands, or buts. And sometimes when you're dealing with that garbage, you got to really hit it. And I was even surprised at the physical reaction she was having. Of course, I was probably saving myself from being slapped because my Christianity had offended her to no end. Now, I'm not recommending you always get into a brawl, but it's just amazing, guys. And I want to say this, in that kind of world that I live in, things have changed. For anybody that tells you it's everything's the same, it's just always been like that, they're dead wrong. I've been around 55 years, and I can tell you right now, the spiritual mood and the temperature is extremely different.
Yes.
I could kid myself and tell you, nah, it just looks different. But when my parents were looking, they said how worse it gotten, and they're dead wrong. There's a hostility, guys, I mean, to Jesus that I have never seen. Now, I've been talking about this. Me and Anna have talked about there's a building venom. It's been going on for years. We've seen it. But it's hit a point now that's like all, you know what I mean? It's all like all covers are off, man. It's hostile. I think you're going to see it actually get worse. Now, the reason I bring it up in closing is we really need these reactions in this day. And sometimes it will be aggressive on your part. We need to know how to act out in wisdom. Not always tit for tat, not always brawling with somebody, but think about the times where you get pressed. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes my mind doesn't work fast enough. Somebody comes at you, I'm kind of like just like thinking. And you ever walk away from a situation, you go, oh, I wish I would have said that and that and that. You know what I mean? It's like it all comes clearly 5 minutes when the situation's done. But there's a reality to our reactions, and I want to encourage you in this today. There's such a beauty as we pray today, and let's ask God for that. I think there's nothing wrong for me going, you know what, I'd like to do this, but how do I say it? How do I say it, God? How do I speak it? What do you want me to do? And then sometimes God's had me silent for a time, and then I start talking. Sometimes I've had the Lord literally to, and if you know me in silence, not two words you're going to put into a sentence, okay? You don't go, Mike Cipolla, silence, first thing I thought about, doesn't talk a lot. Kind of the opposite. In fact, it's interesting when I've been silent in reactions where I'm like, wow, Mike, what the heck? Because you kind of know God had this way. It's like, that's way outside of my pay grade there. That kind of quietness and the meekness, that's not something I do. I pretty much, you slam me, I want to slam you back. I think a lot of us are that way. Well, we're going to pray right now, and we're going to ask God for that in acting and reacting. Father, as we pray dismissed today, none of what I said is about not reacting. None of what I say, we don't want to confuse our meekness for weakness. That's not what I'm getting at. Help us, God. I had something I had to deal with all the time. I had decisions this morning to make that I needed wisdom on. I had decisions yesterday. Father, I need you fully in my life, and I need you to help me. Jesus, you were amazing because sometimes you would call the guys whitewashed sepulchers that are full of dead men's bones, and you were very peaceful in how you did it. But I love Jesus. Since I've been a teenager, I've always said, I want to react like you react. A guy comes telling you to help him, his brother, not steal the inheritance, and you start talking to him about greed. The masterful reactions I've watched in the scripture blow my mind and could only be done by the Spirit of God, by the Son of God in us. Help us, God. Help, Lord, because my mouth, I can't speak for anybody. There are people here that are very quiet and reserved, some that talk more. But for me, that challenge to where I didn't even really connect my mouth with, I would ruminate on stuff. I'd bring it up and rehash it. And sometimes it works you up where you don't need to be. So give us wisdom. Give us that peaceable, pure, gentle, without hypocrisy. Father, we want to react to a dying world as people of mercy, as people who have the gospel that can save men's soul. It's never about, you know, might for might always or fighting for fighting. But I just looked at that little guy and he was praying. And Lord, I'm not even getting into the implications of that. There's a million kinds of situations around the country and in other countries. But I guess I was thinking how he just prayed through. He never screamed or said, shut up. He just prayed and finished it and walked off the stage. He really didn't react much at all. He just continued to do what he was doing. I pray today that we can work with the wisdom on how to react to people. Father, help me when I get into tough situations where I have a lot of feelings about something. Show me the wisdom. You've spared my life, God, many times over, and I will say this. You've come to me in the worst situations and spoke wisdom in my ear. I could hear you. And right in the moment, right when I needed it, you've spared my life and the lives of others many times based on what you the reaction you helped me with. But we want to act out too. It's not just about, we're not people waiting for something, always reacting. We're Christians. Sometimes we're going to enact. We're going to move. We're going to live. We're going to do things. We're going to perform deeds for the kingdom. And I just pray for a wisdom. Lord, it's so amazing because if you can be with me in the reaction and the action and the enacting, my life is going to, it's going to be in a good place. Help no one here to see themselves unlike the people they read about. People in the Bible are people. They're people dealing with real issues. So I pray a blessing as we dismiss today. I pray that this helps, that this comforts, that this gives direction, that it truly, truly, truly aids people in their daily life. Lord, to me, you want to speak into our lives right where we're at, the life we're living, each individual here, what we're dealing with, each individual here, and help us. And I pray one more thing in closing. I think boldness is good in the name of Jesus for our mouths. Again, none of this is about being a wallflower or a powder puff or a sissy or weak or you know, to be generic. None of it. It's just about which thing to say when. And sometimes, Lord, there are things that I will not talk about, little things, because to bring them up even, there's sometimes things I know where it's going to stir it. So I pick and choose my places. Many of us here, we do. We're dealing with life. But give us wisdom. One more thing, prophetic speaking. Father, I've been spoken to. I so many people in this room have spoken to me, they didn't even know it. There was encouragement right on the money. It was something right on the money, right when I needed it. They were not even aware. And I pray that we keep doing that. We need to speak that prophesy, that foretelling. We need to be prophetic to each other. Whether we realize it or not, that's okay. I want to thank you, God. There's a lot of good people here and a lot of people that have blessed my life. Thank you for their encouragement. And just that we can encourage each other today as we go. In the name of Jesus. God bless everyone. Thank you so much, guys. Been awesome with you today.